As we transition to the message, this was a different kind of sermon that I've written for today. It feels unusual to me, but I'm going to give it anyway. It's more of an instructional kind of thing, and it is summer, and so it's just talking today about some practical guidelines on prayer. And as I was writing it, one of the things I couldn't get out of my head was an experience I had at Montreat, North Carolina, when I was about, I guess I was 12 years old, and our church family at First Presbyterian Church in Tennessee, the little town I was raised in, they reserved a big house there, which a lot of churches do, and there were probably 20 to 25 of us that stayed in that house for a week and enjoyed Montreat and climbed the mountains and did the campfires, and we had devotional time and times to play tennis, and it was just a great experience. But the thing I remember the most is after breakfast each morning, we were sent back to our rooms and given a sheet of paper. We were asked to take our Bibles and read the passage for the day that was given to us. And then there were questions on that sheet about the passage, and then we were to spend about 10 minutes at the end of a half hour in prayer. And I thought that was my first experience of having that kind of structured devotional time where we would be sent back to our rooms. I remember one day I just fell asleep. And by the end of the week, I really began to enjoy that time. And I can still see the room. I can see the bed, the clock, my Bible on the Bible, the nightstand, and that sheet of paper laying on that bed and reading the assignment. That image is still with me. And I want to encourage you to think back to the times in your life or the time in which you learned for the first time what it was to have a daily devotional or a time of prayer. And I bet there are some of you that can remember the place and the time where you learned that, or who helped to teach that to you. And so this is the sixth message I'm offering today on private prayer. The first scripture reading is from Matthew 6:6, one verse. It reads, "But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And the second reading is also one verse, Colossians 4:2. "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving." Let's pray as we come to the message. O Lord, our God, we have come to you for these many weeks asking you, teach us how to pray. May we value the gift that you've given us in prayer so much more from this experience of taking time in worship to think about prayer and its power for our lives. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. So the other experience I had was with a youth director growing up in church. And in the little church in Tennessee I'm from, there were two people in our middle school Sunday school class, me and my older brother Wendell. And Wendell would often skip Sunday school, and I don't know where he went, but it would end up being me and John Musser, who was the youth director during the summers in our little church. And John would pray in that Sunday school class, and then he expected me to pray. And over two summers with John as our youth director, I learned how to pray. Another person who influenced me. And so the disciples, they learned how to pray. They observed Jesus praying, and they learned that one of the keys to God's power, which God gives to us, is prayer. And so after they had observed Jesus often in prayer, finally, the gospel stories tell us they went to Jesus and they said to Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And Jesus did. Jesus taught them how to pray, which is a responsibility, I think, that the church often is remiss in doing, teaching others how to pray. We often encourage you to pray. We expect people to pray. But rarely do you hear specific guidance from it or about it. And so over the last weeks of this series, I have tried to do something of offering some guidance. about the importance of prayer, about the power of prayer. I believe with all my heart and soul that prayer can alter situations in life. I really believe that. I believe that prayer can change people. I believe that prayer gives us access to God through Jesus Christ. I remember growing up watching Billy Graham crusades. And I remember at the end of every crusade, many of you will remember it, Billy Graham offered a prayer that people, he invited them to pray it with him. And this is the prayer that he offered. "Pray with me," he would say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior." Millions of people responded to that invitation that Billy Graham gave over the years. And imagine how many lives were changed through that prayer. Somebody's life today may be changed. "Oh Lord Jesus, come into my life and heart. I want to serve you. I want to know you." Someone's life may be changed by hearing that prayer even today. Well, let me continue. We noted that prayer, over the last number of weeks, prayer is not magic. Prayer is not a talisman, like a lucky rabbit's foot. It's not just a wish list of things that we want that we lift up to God. I have encouraged you in prayer to be bold and courageous. And I would continue to encourage you to do that. Bold and courageous as you make requests to God through your prayers. Be bold. Be adventurous. Be imaginative. Pray for big stuff. I think God is really to give us wonderful things if we ask. I offered a sermon in this series about how prayer is the path to discovering God's will for your life. And I really believe that it is. It can be. If you're wondering to go right or to go left or a decision to make, pray to God for help. Prayers are powerful, powerful things. Jesus taught that the prayer of a faithful person can literally move a mountain, said Jesus. And I have figuratively, and many of you have figuratively, seen mountains be moved in people's lives through prayer. I've seen people change dramatically through prayer. And I'm sure you've witnessed some of this. You've seen a hill or two be done away with because of prayer. You've seen people climb out of the valley of the shadow of death because of prayer. You've seen healing because of prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing. We have in this church, on a given month, anywhere between 100 and 150 written prayer requests through the sheets in the bulletin. We also have lots of people call the church office during the week and ask for prayer or ask for the pastor to pray with them. We have people that walk up off the street asking for prayer and also for food. We have a lot of food we give out here. But we have an active prayer chain of a number of volunteers. I'm grateful for them. I can't keep up with all the prayer requests. It's just marvelous, and I hope that continues to be the case here in this church, that this church continues to be a place of prayer. As Presbyterians, we begin every meeting and close every meeting in prayer. We're good at that. It was Jesus' hope. He said it. It was his hope that the church would be a house of prayer. And without a doubt, I have told you this before, prayer has directed the course of my life. It has changed my family. I remember growing up around the kitchen table, and my mother required us to pray before we had an evening meal together. And my dad was a little different. He would come in. He had been working all day as a carpenter, and he would sit down at dinner, and it would come his turn, and he would kind of roll his eyes and finally point to me to pray. And I did. And it was a valuable thing to me to go back and remember the times our family have been together for meals and offered prayers to God. It's a meaningful thing to do. But anyway, I told you before, my mother Nancy, growing up, she wasn't raised with the father. Her mother and great-grandmother raised my mother Nancy. She had some very difficult teenage years. She had to wear thick eyeglasses because she had an eye that pulled, and they wanted to correct that eye. And even today, at 78 years of age, she still doesn't like wearing glasses because she was made fun of so much as a young girl. But she had a very difficult time growing up. So much so that one of the elementary school teachers, who was also the organist in the First Presbyterian Church of Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, where I was brought up in church, but long before we went there, long before I was even born, Nevada Coppinger, the organist in that church, was praying for my mother as a little girl. She knew that my mother, Nancy, was having a difficult time. And years later, after I was born, my mother was ordained as an elder in that Presbyterian church. And Nevada came to her after the service was over. The organist, Nevada, had been there all those years. And she opened her Bible and she showed my mother a list of names. It was her prayer list that she had prayed for people many over 25 to 30 years. And my mother was on that list from the time she was a little girl. And so I know the influence of prayer. I would encourage you, if you do not do it now, to make a list of people and place it in your Bible. And every time you open your Bible, pray for those people. And if you do that over the course of time, the research is unlimited on this. You will see change taking place in their life because you are praying for them. Prayer is that important and it's that powerful. And I wanted to take this time this summer and go through prayer and just tell you how meaningful it can be for you. Now, if the claims of the influence of prayer that I'm making this morning, if they're even half true, and I believe they're fully true, but if they're just half true, then you can see how prayer is vital for every single Christian if you're a follower of Christ. Prayer is necessary for your faith. It's necessary for your journey and for your future. God has so much that God wants to give us, but there are so few times we make a request to God. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray because he knew they could gain and they could grow in faith through prayer. He knew that they would need a strong faith, especially after his death and resurrection and ascension, to be able to establish the church in a hostile culture, a hostile world. And he knows that we need prayer for the very same reasons. It's a difficult world out there. Prayer often is a little thing. People think, oh, it's just a small thing in my life. Prayer, it's such a little thing. It's not that important. But it is, even though it's small, it can be so powerful just to pause in silence before God and meditate on something you've read from God's Word. For example, just to close your eyes in some place in your home and say, oh Lord, you're the light of the world. Be the light of my life. And just say that over and over. You are the light of the world. Be the light of my life. Shine your light into my friend's life. Shine your light into this person's life that I know who needs you so desperately. That's a simple prayer, but that's all it needs to be. The optic nerve of the eye is so tiny. But think about this. The optic nerve, even though it is a little thing, what does it give us? It gives us the sun. It gives us the stars, the moon, the wonders of creation. It gives us all of that, and it's such a small thing, the optic nerve. Prayer, you see, it's the optic nerve of your spiritual life. It's the optic nerve of your soul. It can open you up to the wonders of God if you'll allow it. In the short time I have remaining this morning, I want to offer just some guidance about private prayer. I'm not trying to offer rules of any kind, only some hints, and I hope it's helpful. Many of the things I offer will not be new. You may have heard them before, especially if you're an older adult. You may say, I practice that, or you may have 10 other things that you do that I need to hear about and others need to hear about that you've found meaningful. But just some guidance. Thinking about prayer can reignite your faith. It can reignite your prayer life. Perhaps this morning you feel like an ember, a coal that's going out in a fire, and this may help to to spark your faith and your prayer life. Well, Jesus is our teacher in the regards to prayer, and we'll come to some of that in just a moment. Other people, again, as I've mentioned, they can be guides for us in their experience of prayer. But first, what about this question? Where do you go when you pray? Where do you go? Jesus encouraged us from the reading we had in Matthew this morning to pray, he said, in a quiet and private place. His teaching on this was very specific. Go, he said, and pray in private. Indeed, he said, in secret. A place that's free from distraction. That's without your cell phone, right? Without your computer. Go and pray without distraction. Do it in private. Indeed, do it in secret. And he used that word secret here. The Greek word for secret, which Jesus uses here in Matthew 6:6, is mystiko. Mystiko. That's the Greek word, mystiko. It means something that is hidden. It's like a mystery. Now, it's interesting to me that it's the same root, this Greek word, that's used in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of baptism. The sacrament, the word in the Greek, is mysterion. Mysterion. And I don't think it's any mystake that the root mystico is in that, because prayer is almost a sacramental act that opens us up to God. Think about that, a sacramental act. Prayer is so important. The gospel accounts of Jesus' life record that sometimes he prayed on a mountainside, even into the dark of the night, rising up sometimes a great while before morning, before the day began. Jesus would go, we're told, often to a solitary place to pray. And so the guidance I would offer amid the glare and the busyness of our lives would be to do the best you can to find a place in some corner free from distraction that can become your sanctuary so that you can be still and know God and learn of God. One of the most sincere and the deepest spiritual pastor I've ever met was a man named Harley Rosenberger. He was the pastor for visitation at the First Presbyterian Church in St. Petersburg. He lived well into, I think he was probably 103 or 4 when he finally died. But Harley Rosenberger, when I met him, he was already in his 80s. And he agreed to serve as the pastor of visitation in that church with one condition, and the condition was he didn't have to go to any meetings. He'd done enough meetings in his ministry, he said. No meetings, but I want to go and visit with people and pray with people. And Harley would go on and on about before he would go to the hospital or someone's home to visit with them. He was so sincere, he would stop at a beautiful park, roll down the window, and he would just soak in the beauty of God's creation and pray to God that in the next visit he would make, he could be God's servant. He would often, I would hear him coming down the hallway at the church, and Harley would be humming some gospel song or reciting a passage of Scripture. That was just Harley. He was raised a Mennonite. He had the sweetest disposition. He would go on and on in his morning prayers in church about the chirping of the birds and the beauty of the trees. He was so sincere, such a deep spirituality. And the point I want to make with you is sometimes prayer can be accompanied by music. Maybe that helps you get into a prayerful mood. Music, humming, reading the Bible, memorizing Scripture, that can be an important part of your prayer life. Whatever you do that helps you to pray, find a place to pray, whether it's secret or not. Secondly, what guidance can there be about when we should pray? When we should pray? And of course, the answer is anytime. You can pray anytime. That's the correct answer. God is not bound by occasions. God is not bound by seasons or times. Prayer should be as spontaneous as any relationship with a friend that you have, where you just call them up and talk to them. Prayer should be that way. But there is value in making a habit and making a plan for an allotted time during the day to pray. And I want to suggest to you then three times during the day that can have special purpose. There can be more times, but three times that can have special purpose. And one of them is in the morning, the very first thing of the day. The first moments of the day are the arena in our minds and hearts where sometimes worries are revived from the previous days and troubles, even joys. We remember yesterday. And then the responsibility we have in the coming hours just rushes into our life. And all that happens in the morning when we're getting up. And so the beginning of the day is crucial. It's crucial to begin a time of prayer at the beginning of the day, like a good breakfast. It can be a time of God in prayer, with God in prayer, and reading a psalm or something from the Bible or a devotional book to help you kind of springboard into prayer. And prayer is a terrific thing to facilitate and to cultivate at any mealtime, by the way. But there is great value to pause and pray at the beginning of a day. A day can have a sense of unity about it, and sometimes days seem to run together. And so prayer can be at the beginning of the day a way to say, God, I want to place a fence here between everything that happened yesterday, because there could be that in yesterday you had a day that was marred by trouble or disappointment or something that bothers you. And so pray for God to put a fence up on yesterday. And then turn to God and say, now God, I'm coming to you in this new day. May I embrace all the wonders that this day will hold. When I meet people, may I see your face in their face. Help me with every opportunity that comes to me this day to witness to the love I know in Jesus Christ. That can change your attitude and your disposition for going through a single day. And so begin each day affirming your faith in God. A new day has begun. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in it with God at the very beginning. It's also to begin each day praying and expecting good and great things will happen in your life. There is gain in setting the tone and the standard for the day by beginning every day in quiet prayer and meditation. Now let me say this, because I know we live busy lives. The prayer before or after breakfast should be wisely brief. Often, because many times the day's work or the day's study that we have to do, the chores, they come rushing into life, and soon we're off and about during the day. And so it's important to be somewhat disciplined about both being brief and having prayer every morning. The second time of the day for daily prayer, I want to suggest, is not determined by the clock. The second time is determined by the events that take place in your given day. That is to say, our hours during the day should be punctuated by prayer. Maybe a prayer that's just a resolve to say, I'm going to finish that which I've started today. Maybe it's a quick prayer for patience. Help me to be patient because I'm not going to finish what I plan to do today. Maybe it's a prayer of thanksgiving because of a phone call from a friend or a family member. Maybe pausing in prayer with a sense of gratitude. Oh Lord, I just saw the beauty of the ocean and the beauty in the clouds, and I am just touched by wonder in this moment. The wonder of your creation. Thank you, God. Just quick prayers to the day based on the events and things that you see. Yesterday, I kept listening to the radio about the flooding in New Orleans, and I kept thinking, oh, Lord, be with those people. I just can't imagine yet again the flooding and the waiting, being out of power and knowing that the rain is coming and just sitting in the Gulf and all those 20 inches of rain, they're going to hit somewhere. And I kept praying that those people would be helped. Perhaps you might pray the most dangerous prayer of all. And three words contain the most dangerous prayer. God, use me. That's a dangerous prayer. Someone's in trouble, you have a person that you can sympathize with because they've gone through something awful, and you say, God, use me if I can in any way touch their life so carefully. God, use me. Even the records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John show us clearly that Jesus prayed at every juncture during the day and in his ministry. But the third, perhaps most helpful time of the day to pray, again, goes back to a time. We prayed at the beginning of the day. We prayed through events in short kind of ways, brief ways, during the day. And now another good time is at night, at the end of the day. A wise parent offers comfort to children who are running off to bed by being with them and saying prayers with them, teaching them to pray, asking God to bless them. A prayer before sleep, it can help all of us put our minds at rest. So many times when we go to bed, our minds are just rushing. Sometimes we can even be full of anger. The Apostle Paul was a good psychologist when he wrote these words in the Scriptures, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." That's good advice. If you find yourself going to bed frustrated and angry about life and a situation you're in, your mind can be churning, and prayer can be a powerful medicine to the mind and the body and your spiritual life, praying for God to give you a sense of peace about something. And at the same time, prayer can work wonders in our human lives while we sleep. We know as we sleep, the mind is not inactive. The mind continues to work while we sleep. And if you posture yourself by going to sleep during a time of prayer or prayer before you go to sleep, it can change you. God may visit you by coming down a stair into a dream. God may help you to come to a decision. There may be a question that you have, a concern before you go to sleep. And I've had this experience, maybe you have. I would wake up in the morning having gone to sleep in that disposition of prayer, and in the morning when I awake, there's an answer. And I believe that's because we've invited God into our minds and hearts in prayer. Finally, this morning, I want to encourage you to pray with the psalmist. Use your Bible when you pray. If I had to do a seventh sermon on prayer next week, it would be on praying the Psalms. To take your Bible and turn to the Psalms, and one by one, it doesn't have to be in order, but go through a portion of a psalm or an entire psalm if it's short, and try to make the psalmist's prayer, make it your words. You'll find oftentimes the psalmist prays in the first person, and so you can enter into that. Oh Lord, be my refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. Help me not to fear. Beautiful psalms you can come to. Read the psalms. May the psalmist's prayer be your prayer. There are times I know that our prayers can be dry. We can grow stale in our spiritual life if we're not careful. We hear the pastor groan on and on about praying, and we get sleepy. But prayer is important. Don't forget that this morning. And so I hope I've offered just some guidelines, of just a rough map. There are no rules to anything I've said. Each person must strengthen their own spiritual walk in their own way. And prayer, I hope I've made the point this morning, is a vital tool in that toolbox that God has given us. This story, and I close, it's a story that's told of Moses. I don't believe it's true, but it's a story that makes a point. It's a story about Moses and what he said to a shepherd that he met who was in prayer out in the desert. And the shepherd was praying, and this shepherd prayed in the King James language. He said, "Oh God, show me where thou art, that I may become thy servant. I will clean thy shoes, I will comb thy hair, I will sew thy clothes, I will provide thee with milk and food." Moses chastised the shepherd. He said, "Oh shepherd, you're so foolish. God doesn't need any of those things. God is spirit." And whereupon, hearing this from the great Moses. The shepherd tore his clothes and he ran out into the desert in fear. And then Moses heard a voice from heaven. This is what the voice said. Oh, Moses, wherefore have you driven away my servant? I regard not the words that are spoken, but the heart that offers them. You will find God if you seek Him with all your heart. Let's pray as we come to a close. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this band, Pierced, their work, and how all of these songs are really prayers. Prayers that we can remember, phrases that we can take to a time of prayer. May they be just that, every word important. May we seek you with all of our heart. Through Christ our Lord, we offer all of our prayers. Amen.